was rich. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your side. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end.
Glory to You can be seated. What a powerful song that is, and what a way to begin our service this morning. I want to welcome everybody who's here in person. Welcome to those of you who are on all of our social media platforms, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe, do all those things. If you're on the phone live streaming, thank you for being there too. If you need that number for the phone live streaming, please call the church office. See me after the service. Be glad to give that to you. If you do have access at home to the church website, go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com. If you're here in person, you can pick these up at the doors. We have our worship bulletin under that info tab on the website there. We also have our children's worship bulletins. They're in the windowsill over here to my right. There's one for ages 7 and up, one for ages 3 and up. And then also under that same info tab is the prayer list. Be sure to get that downloaded and be praying for those individuals. We've got some prayer requests we'll be mentioning at the end of the service this morning for you to add also. So thank you for being here this morning. Looking for a wonderful time of worship. If you're a guest this morning, we especially want to remind you or share with your friends who maybe brought you this morning to pick up one of the gift bags on the sides of the stage. If you brought someone, please make sure to get one. There's some at the doors also. It's got some information about our church. It's also got some gifts that we just want to say thank you for being here with us this morning. So be sure to get one of those. Brother Mike, you'll come.
Morning all. If you would, please stand with us and let's sing Great is the Lord. He is worthy of our praise. Great is the Lord. Hymn number 12. Miss Suzanne.
Great is the Lord, He is holy and just, by His power we trust in His name. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true, by His mercy He proves His love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory, great is the Lord and worthy of praise, great is by His mercy He proves His love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord. Now lift up your voice. Now lift up your voice. Great is the Lord. Great. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true, by His mercy He proves His love. Great are You, Lord, and worthy of glory. Great are You, Lord, and worthy of praise. Great are You, Lord, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice. Great are You, Lord? Great are You, Lord?
Amen. You'll notice in your bulletins, actually, that is not our missionary of the week. Our missionary of the week is in your bulletins there. It is Leo and Miosha Robinson. They are serving in Flint, Michigan. They went there as God called them there to start and plant a church. They started canvassing the neighbors and talking to them and asking them, what was it you need the most? They're in Flint there, which is a pretty good sized city. But single moms kept saying that they needed to do laundry, and many of them had to take a bus across town to a laundromat. And so they began by bringing a laundromat service there through the church in their basement. It's a low-cost laundromat service there that meets the needs of the community, gives them opportunities to build relationships with people to share the good news of the gospel. And so be in prayer for Leo and Miosha Robinson there in Flint, Michigan, as God continues their work there, and also be in prayer for our missionaries in Moldova. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come here this morning to join and worship and prayer and praise to your name. Father, we just pray that you would have your hand upon us in a powerful way. Father, I pray that as we come before you, you would cleanse us and forgive us of all of our sin. Lord, wash us as white as snow with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would be with our missionaries, Leo and Miosha Robinson, there in Flint, Michigan, as you continue to open up unique opportunities, compassion ministries there, for them to share the good news of the gospel. And we pray, God, that you will bless them in the work there. Bless all of our missionaries across North America and around the world. We pray for a hedge of protection about them. We pray, Lord, for your wisdom and discernment as you lead them and guide them in all that you would have them to do. So we ask, Lord, this morning that you would join us here, that your spirit will move in our hearts, that believers will be established and strengthened in their walk with you, and those who may not know Christ as our Lord and Savior would come by faith to know him this morning through the message of the gospel. So bless your word today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Do want to encourage you, you can do your giving this morning. You've got offering envelopes in the pews in front of you. Some of the seasonal ones are there in the windowsills. We'll be beginning next week, beginning to emphasize our North American missions offering, our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And so want to encourage you to be praying about already to give towards that. We'll be sharing some videos, some testimonies from our missionaries about our North American need there. But you can do that on our website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab, and you can do that online there. Don't forget the YouVersion Bible app. Want to encourage you to sign up for that. We're finishing up. This will be the last week that we're emphasizing our 30-day prayer challenge study that we've been going through, Lord, Hear Our Cry. So please be sure to get signed up for that, and then we'll begin a new one come the month of March. And you can do a couple at the same time. That'll be fine. Don't forget that this Saturday is going to be the Men's Night of Worship. If you've not let me know yet, please do that today if you plan to go. If you plan to be a part of the barbecue competition, let me know that also. We'll make sure to help you figure out how you need to get that in so that you can be a part of that. And then also don't forget the Bless app. Just want to encourage you again to be signing up with that. It's a way that we can be a light in our community, to be praying for those people in our community. If you have access to our church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com, one of the things that you'll see below the little scrolling thing here is this new little platform that's at the bottom of that. It tells you where we are as a church. From all of you who have signed up thus far, we have 830 homes that have been adopted, 1,037 that are beginning with prayer. If you're not a part of this, I want to encourage you to be a part of that. You'll be able to see firsthand there how things are progressing as we're praying for people, as we're looking for opportunities to serve them and to share the gospel. If you aren't comfortable doing that online and you would like us to help you do that online, or you just want to do it by paper version, please call the church office. We'll be glad to get you signed up, and we'll just print you out or send you through email five people to be praying for in your neighborhood each week. And so just want to encourage you to take the time to do that as we begin praying for our communities.
Take your hymnals now, if you would, and turn to hymn 139 and join us as we sing At the Cross. At the Cross. Miss Suzanne.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received. light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glory in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Thus might I hide my blushing face while Calvary's cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt my eyes tears. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Thank you. And if you would, the Children's Church will be gathering over on the piano side during this next hymn. And it's hymn 406. And if you would stand with us as we sing this, the Solid Rock, hymn 406.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come, trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid
Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 27 down through verse 31. I love this passage this morning. In fact, this whole chapter that we've been looking at on Sunday mornings in Romans chapter 3, and how so much of it coincides with what we have been looking at on Sunday nights about faith in the Great Hall of Faith passage in Hebrews chapter 11. And it also coincides with what we see in the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah that we're studying on Wednesday nights. If you're only coming for Sunday mornings, you're missing two-thirds of what I try to share with you from the Word of God to help you to grow in your walk. So if you're not coming, at least be watching it online so that you can be able to see some of the core relations between the Old Testament and the New Testament, because that's what Paul is doing here. He's writing to believers in Rome. He's writing to those who are objecting and saying that we as Jews have a leg up, if you will, on those who are Christians. And so we're going to see more of that fleshed out today and again next week as we get into chapter 4 when he goes back to the Old Testament to talk about Abraham. So beginning with verse 27 of chapter 3 down to verse 31, would you stand as we read God's word in honor of his word? So in light of all that he's already told us in the previous verses, he says in verse 27, then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much this morning. What a powerful passage. I know, Lord, there is the necessity to dig deep here into your word, and we are going to look at the meat of your word here. So, Father, I pray that you would use it to strengthen, to nourish those who are believers, to help them to grow in their walk with you. But, Lord, I also pray that those who may be new in the faith, Lord, that there would be milk of the word here, if you would, to nourish them and to help them to grow. That, Lord, we'd be able to take what Paul is saying and bring it down to the very basic levels to be able to understand what he's trying to convey to us through these verses. And I especially pray, Lord, that it would come across in these verses about the gospel message, about salvation for those who don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, that they would hear the gospel message in these verses and that you would use it to bring them to faith in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. So bless your word this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. And you can be seated. You know, think about this. Have you ever noticed how naturally we boast about things? And we might not always say it out loud. Many times it shows up in subtle ways. We compare. We compare ourselves to others. That's a boasting of ourselves, because many times we want to make them look less than us and lift ourselves up. We measure. We quietly rehearse our accomplishments. We find reassurance in the thought that we're doing better than somebody else is. And even in spiritual matters, we can fall into that kind of trap of thinking that I pray more than that person does, or I serve more than they do, or I try harder than that person. You see, the human heart has an instinctive need to claim some credit.
Now imagine one day you're going to be standing before a perfect, holy God. Imagine every thought that you've ever thought being fully exposed, every motive revealed, every failure that you've had laid bare. In that moment, what in the world would you boast about? What achievement would you present before the Lord? Knowing all your failures, what argument would you make? You see, the sobering truth here of the scripture is that in God's presence, every mouth is stopped. All comparison disappears. All the excuses begin to fall silent. And yet, into that silence, the gospel speaks. It says to us that sinners can be justified. Sinners can be declared righteous before God. But here's the startling part. It's not by works. It's not by your moral effort. It's not by your religious performance. In other words, how often you came to church, how often you read your Bible. It's by faith. And when salvation comes by faith alone, Paul is telling us here, boasting is excluded. He's asking a piercing question when you look at verse 27 there. Where then is boasting? Now that question strikes at the very core of our hearts, the very core of pride in our lives. It confronts the deepest impulse of our fallen hearts. And in answering the question, because Paul does answer the question, in answering it, he unfolds, if you will, for us the most liberating truths of all Scripture. And that's this, that we are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. That's the truth you need to get in your heart as a believer this morning, is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. So we're going to see in this passage what Paul is talking about here. We're going to see why boasting has no place in our salvation. In other words, you can't say, look at what I did in my salvation experience. We're going to see how God accomplished redemption entirely apart from us. And we're also going to see why faith is the only way to receive it. We're going to see how this wonderful doctrine does not destroy God's law, but it establishes God's law in our lives. And so as you walk through this passage this morning with us, we're going to discover here that the only safe place for us as sinners to stand is not on our personal merit, but on the finished work of Jesus Christ at the cross and His resurrection. So the first thing I want you to see is the first part of verse 27. I want you to see man's great issue, your great problem. Where then is boasting, Paul says. Now understand here, he is not raising some minor theological detail. He is pointing out here, putting his finger, if you will, on the very central problem of our human hearts. At the base of most all of our sins is this issue, pride. Because what is at the center of pride? I, me. He answers his own question with an unmistakable clarity. When he asks that question, where then is boasting? He says, it is excluded. So why does Paul, at this point in chapter 3, even bring up the subject of boasting? Why, after unfolding the glorious truth of the justification by faith, does it seem like he suddenly addresses pride? He does so because boasting, as we said, is an outward expression of the inward disease, the inward problem, and that disease, that problem, that issue is pride. When you look at Romans chapter 1 through chapter 3, Paul carefully diagnoses the human condition. He tells us that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. He goes on to say that they refuse to glorify him as God. They refuse to give him thanks. And that refusal is not an intellectual confusion. It is a moral rebellion. There are people today who are in moral rebellion against God. Pride doesn't want to bow. It doesn't want to depend. It doesn't want to acknowledge that every good and perfect gift comes from the hand of God. And so whether it appears in the immoral who openly defy God, or whether it appears in a moral person, a person who tries to do good things, who quietly trusts in their own good deeds, pride still reigns. And even religious people, church people, people who profess to be Christians, can boast in their spiritual knowledge while lacking a genuine humility in the Lord. Instead of humbling ourselves before God, so often we take the truth of God and we push it down. That's for somebody else. That's not for me. That's pride, though. And Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 that even though people knew him, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, because pride refuses to glorify God, refuses to give thanks. Pride says this. Pride says, I'm good enough in myself. I can do it on my own. I deserve it. It resists dependence. It resists submission. It resists gratitude, because pride is not limited to the openly sinful. In Romans chapter 2, Paul talked about people who were living morally. They were living good lives, if you will, quote unquote. But they were those who were condemning others while they were practicing the very same sins they were condemning others having. So there's the pride of the rebellious, there's the pride of the religious, and there's even the pride of the person who boasts in God but uses that religious knowledge to elevate themselves. So by the time we reach Romans chapter 3 and verse 18, Paul summarizes the human condition this way, and says there is no fear of God before their eyes. I don't know about you, but that describes our world so adequately today. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There's no trembling. There's no reverence. There is no awe. Boasting matters, and why Paul brings it up here, it matters because boasting reveals the root problem in our lives, pride. Pride is at the root of our separation from God. But God loves us too much to leave us in our sin, and that's why Paul goes on to tell us in the second half of verse 27 about God's great salvation. We have man's great issue, man's great problem, and now we have God's great salvation. Continue on with verse 27. He said, then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. And then he asks another question and says, by what kind of law? By a law of works? And he says, no, but by the law of faith. In other words, our salvation is accomplished without our help. Here's the critical question. If pride has separated us from God, how can we ever be restored? Because pride still is there. Paul answers that in Romans 3, verse 21 to 26. He tells us that God has done something extraordinary. He has acted in history. He has sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to be resurrected from the grave, so that you could have salvation. That's what the letter of Romans is about. The letter of Romans makes it very clear that salvation was accomplished entirely by God. Christ came to join the divide that was between us and God, to repair the damage that had been caused to God's glory. He came to absorb the wrath that we deserved. He came to pay the ransom price for our sins. He came to demonstrate the righteousness of God. And notice this very carefully. All of that happened outside of what you did or didn't do before it was ever applied inside of you. We weren't consulted at Calvary by God. We didn't assist in the atonement. We did not contribute to the redemption. God upheld his own glory and satisfied his own justice. God paid the ransom in his son. Now, Paul says in Romans 3:24 that we are justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption, not that is in us, but that is in Christ Jesus who is in us. Now, remember that about justified that we talked about before. Justified means to be declared righteous. We put it, even simplified it even a little bit further, which it kind of takes away some of the depth of the meaning of it, but it's just as if I'd never sinned. Not because of my works, not because of anything I deserved, but as a gift of God's grace. So understand, when something is a gift, boasting has no place. When somebody gives you a gift, you can't say, look at what I did. No, they did it. They earned the money for the gift. They gave you the gift. That's what God does. He paid the price for the gift that he gives to us. So understand, when something is a gift, boasting has no place. And if salvation was achieved wholly by God, then boasting collapses under the weight of grace. Because notice Paul goes on and doesn't leave us there. He tells us about the means of salvation in verse 28 down to verse 30. Verse 28, he says, for we hold that one or that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God a God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Who didn't have the law is what he's saying. He's saying he's the God of the Jews who had the law, who were supposed to be keeping the law, but he is also the God of Gentiles who never had the law. He is the God of Gentiles also, yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one who will justify, will make righteous, will declare them as if they have never sinned. He will justify the circumcised, that's the Jews, by faith, and the uncircumcised, that's the Gentiles, through faith, both saved the same way. So every time you go back to the Old Testament, this question always comes up. What about those Old Testament saints? How did they become saved? Romans 11, by faith, by faith, over and over and over. We're told by faith. We're told by Paul here. Those who were Jews, those who were circumcised, they're justified by faith. Those who are uncircumcised are justified through faith. You are saved by your faith in Christ, through your faith in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. So in this, Paul is returning to his original question. Where then is boasting? It's excluded, he tells us. How? By what principle? It's not by a law of works, but by a law of faith. And so here's the divine wisdom of God. Not only did God accomplish salvation without us, he didn't need us to accomplish salvation. He designed the way that you receive it so that you cannot boast in it. Let me say that one more time. He not only accomplished salvation without us, he designed the way for you to receive it so that you cannot boast in it in and of yourself. If justification were based on works, as verse 28 is asking, any works then we would have grounds for pride. We could say about our salvation, I earned my salvation. We could say, I deserve to be saved. There is not a single person on the face of this planet who has ever deserved to be saved. What you deserve is eternal punishment. But Jesus took that on the cross. So Paul explains over in Romans chapter 4 and verse 4 through verse 5 that when someone works for wages, what they receive is not grace. If you work for wages, it's debt. But to the one who doesn't work for justification, but believes in the one who justifies the ungodly, your faith is credited as righteousness. Romans 11, all throughout that says, by faith Abraham, and it was accounted unto him by his faith as righteousness. So understand that faith does something remarkable in our lives. It doesn't draw attention to itself or to us. It draws attention to the one we trust in. Works says, good deeds say, look at me. Look at what I've done. Works expect payment. Faith receives grace. Works say, look at me. Faith says, look at him. That's why boasting is excluded by faith. And Paul makes something else very clear here, that this justification is not just for one group. God is not the God of the Jews only, but he is also the God of the Gentiles. There is one God, and there is one way to be made right with him, and that's by faith. Jew or Gentile. If salvation came through works of the law, then only those who possessed the law would have an advantage. But since it comes by faith, anyone, anywhere who trusts in Jesus can be justified. So that leaves no room for pride. So then naturally, Paul continues the argument that some would make and say, okay then, what about the law then? You've got all this way back here in the Old Testament. What about all of that? What about all of the law? What's the significance of the law? That's our fourth point. Verse 31 tells us here and answers the question, does faith nullify the law? So notice verse 31. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? And he says, by no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Now, for some, that may seem like a contradiction there. You're saying that salvation is by faith, but you're also lifting up the law. Well, let's see what Paul is talking about here. He's anticipating that objection. That's why he says this in verse 31. In other words, he's saying here, if we're justified apart from works of the law, does that mean then that the law, the Old Testament, has no value? Does it mean that obedience even no longer matters? Does it produce a lawless life? And Paul's answer is an emphatic, by no means may it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. We uphold the law. This is one of the most profound truths in Scripture, that justification by faith does not destroy the law. It fulfills the law at its deepest purpose. And you say, how could that be? I wasn't perfect in keeping the law. He was, though. And so when you put your faith in the one who did keep the law perfectly, his righteousness is accounted to you by your faith in him. So understand that. It fulfills the law at the deepest purpose. Here's what Paul means. The law, the works that you might see, especially in the Old Testament, were never given as a ladder for us to climb up to God's favor. It was given to reveal God's character and to expose our sinfulness, our need. What it does is it shows us what righteousness looks like, but it does not give us the power to achieve that. The power to achieve that does not come from keeping the law. In Romans 8, verse 3 and verse 4, look at what Paul says there in Romans 8, 3 and 4. He says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do." In other words, what he's saying there is the law could not save you, could not save anybody in the Old Testament, could not save you today. So don't go back and put yourself back under the structure of the law there in that respect. But what God has done, God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. In order that, verse 4 says, that the righteous requirement of the law, there is a righteous requirement of the law, be ye holy as I am holy. None of us can raise our hand and say, I've been perfectly holy. There's a requirement, though, of the law for us to be holy. And he says here, he did that sending his son, condemn sin in the flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So what is he saying there? Is he saying then that this righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in me and in you in what I do? No. Because that would be contrary to what he's telling us here in these verses. Paul is explaining that what the law could not do, because it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his son. And why did he do it? He did it so that the requirement could be fulfilled in us. Now notice that very carefully. Fulfilled in us. When we are justified by faith, we receive the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do within us? The Holy Spirit teaches us about Jesus, about God the Father. The Spirit points us to the object of our faith. The Spirit produces love in our hearts. The Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And he produced, one of those fruit is love. And what does love do? Love fulfills the law. Romans 13, verse 10 says plainly, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Put it even more simple. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And you remember his answer? He says there's two, actually. First, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is likened to it, love thy neighbor as thyself. What do both of those have in common? Love. Because love fulfills the law. So faith doesn't produce rebellion. What it produces in your life is transformation. When you try to obey God in order to earn acceptance, you operate in the power of your own strength, in the power of the flesh. But when you trust Jesus Christ and you rest in his finished work, the Spirit of God begins to change you from the inside out. And obedience then becomes the fruit of faith, not the root of justification. You get that? Our works are not the root. Said this several weeks ago, a couple of months ago actually. Our works are not the root. Our works are the fruit. So that leads us to our final point that Paul makes here about the call of God. What do we need to do then? You need to trust and stop trying to climb the ladder to him. Let me say this as clearly as I can. If you are trying to climb your way to God by doing good works, you're either going to wind up in one of two places. You're either going to wind up proud or you're going to wind up discouraged. You'll become proud if you think you're succeeding. You'll be discouraged when you realize you're failing. But when you trust in Jesus Christ, when you rest in His finished work, you are justified freely by grace. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, He begins to transform you from the inside out. And you begin to walk in obedience, not to earn God's love, not to earn God's favor, but because you already have it. So do we nullify the law through faith? May it never be, Paul says. Faith establishes the law because faith produces love, and that love fulfills the law that it was that what it was pointing to all along. So where does that leave us? Paul's question still echoes from the first verse that we looked at. Where then is boasting? If we've understood Romans 3 correctly, there's only one answer to that question. There is none. Not on our part, anyway. It's excluded. It's shut out. It's silenced at the foot of the cross. When you stand before God, you will not plead your church attendance before Him. When you stand before God, you will not plead your good intentions. I had good intentions, God. When you stand before God, you will not compare yourself to somebody else. In that holy moment, there is only one question that really matters. What have you done with Jesus Christ? If you try to stand on your works, you'll discover they're just too small. I'll never get there. But if you try to stand on your morality, you'll discover it's incomplete. If you try to stand on your religious effort, you'll find that it cannot carry the weight of divine holiness. The law is not a ladder, we said, for climbing to heaven. It exposes our need. It points to grace. But here's the awesome truth. Here's the glory of the gospel. God requires righteous living. God requires righteousness. Here's the awesome truth. The same God who requires righteousness has provided righteousness. He's provided it in His Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for us. The very debt we owed, Jesus paid. The very wrath that we deserve, Jesus took upon Himself. And the very obedience that the law demands, the Spirit now produces in those who trust in Him. So the call today is not to climb higher. It is not to try harder. It is not to polish your pride with religious language. The call is to humble yourself. The call is to lay down every claim of your merit, to renounce every subtle form of boasting. The call is to trust fully and finally and completely in the one who justifies the ungodly. And when you do, something remarkable happens. Grace replaces pride. And gratitude replaces fear. And love replaces legalism. And the law that once condemned you is now fulfilled in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's an awesome truth to understand as we get ready to close. There will be boasting in heaven, but it won't be boasting in ourselves. It'll be boasting in the Lord. You look at the scenes in heaven in the scriptures, and we're standing around the great throne praising the one who gave His life for us. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. That's where the boasting will be. Every crown that you may think you've achieved in this life will be laid at His feet. Every voice will say, salvation belongs to our God. And not one redeemed sinner will be able to stand before that throne and say, I earned this. Not Paul, not Peter, Not Billy Graham, not you, not me. So where then is boasting? It's excluded in us so that Christ may be exalted. So the question is simple this morning. Will you respond to what God has told us in His Word here? Will you respond by trying to earn what can only be given? Or will you respond by believing in Him who justifies the ungodly? Humble yourself, lay aside boasting, turn away from self-reliance, and trust in the only one who can save by grace alone, through faith alone. That's how pride is broken in your life, and that's how boasting is silenced, and that is how the law is fulfilled in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, wow. We are humbled this morning by Your Word. Lord, we come this morning with nothing in our hands. Simply to Your cross we cling. Simply in what Christ did for us. Thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have destroyed pride, and we can be freed from pride. We can be transformed by the grace of the gospel if we'll just receive the free gift by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Lord, I pray this morning we have realized and understood from Your Word that our salvation is not in ourselves. It is in You. Lord, You are to be the object of our faith, not our good deeds, not our works. All of those things are the fruit. The root is Jesus. The root is grace and mercy and love that comes from a Savior who died on a cross for us and took our punishment for us. And then 3 days later, arose from the grave to give us victory over death, hell, and the grave. Thank You this morning, Lord, for this truth. And may it free up many people in their hearts today to live in that grace, to be transformed from the inside out, to obey You because they love You, not because out of a sense of duty, not out of legalism, but out of love. Father, I pray that You will transform some people's hearts and lives this morning, especially those who have heard maybe the gospel for the first time, who have thought for years and years, I could never be saved because I've done X, Y, Z. I pray they have heard this morning that the ground at the foot of the cross is level for all of us. And no matter what they have done in their lives, no matter what sin it is they've committed, they can come this morning in repentance, turning away from that sin, turning to receive the free gift of grace by faith through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray they would do that this morning, calling out to You and saying, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I believe this morning in what Christ did for me on the cross and through His resurrection. Jesus, come into my life. And save me and transform me, change me from the inside out to be more like Christ, to love You and to love others." Father, I pray that You will do a work in their lives and a work in this church's life like has never been seen before. And Lord, may You literally transform us into a gospel-sending machine. Lord, that we would go forth wherever we go, into our communities we live in, whether we go to our workplace, and we would share with people the good news of the gospel message, that I don't have to earn my salvation. Jesus already paid it. All I have to do is trust in Him. Lord, I pray we would begin praying for our neighbors. We'd begin looking for those opportunities to share our faith in Christ. And help us, Lord, to make the greatest impact that we could in this year for the kingdom of God. We ask all of these things. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, Only Trust Him. Would you come and only trust Him this morning? Whatever decision, whether it's to join this church, whether it's to come and just pray, or whether it's to come to faith in Christ, Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us, would you come?
Soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him.
Seated. As Brother Jimmy is coming to share our announcements, I know some of you don't have Facebook and those things, but just wanted to tell you, Christopher and Rachel are expecting. We have a new grandchild that's going to be coming the 1st of October, so thank you for your prayers for them.
Good morning. Thank you to everybody that came last week to our VBS meeting. I think we are getting ready for a really great year. If you were not able to attend it but would still like to teach a class or help, please let me know. We have several spots that are still open. Also, if there is something that you normally do but you have not told me, please let me know that also so that we can get some of those spots filled. I don't want to just make assumptions that you're coming back. Also, on April 19th, we will have another VBS training with a guest speaker. More details on that to come. Thank you.
And also, don't forget, we got all kinds of trainings going on. So March 8th is our Sunday school training, and so teachers, please sign up outside on the bulletin board to be there. And so you have had plenty of time to make preparations, so no excuses, right? And you know, bring your spouse, and you know, if your kids, you need someone to watch your kids, they can stay too, and they can enjoy the training, and we'll feed them as well. So please sign up outside of pastor's office, and let me know next to your name how many will be there so that we can, you know, make sure we have enough food. Or if you're also interested in teaching, you know, This could be another great opportunity for you to be a part of that and continue to see what that looks like. So please think about that and sign up. Thanks.
Just a few other announcements. If you would, just look in your bulletin for opportunities for this next week. About everything in there is listed. We do have somebody needs some assistance. Miss Leanne Wells has requested assistance with transportation to a doctor appointment this week. Preferably a married couple to take her to the doctor's office in Franklin on Tuesday, February 24th at 1:45 p.m. If you might can take care of that, please contact the deacons Mark Smith, Jonathan DeSype, or Pastor Jim, or the church office, if you might can take care of that. Other things we have, prayer is Suzanne Barton is in the hospital with pneumonia, so big prayer for her. The S.W. Stone family, just keep praying for them. Jacqueline Painter is at home on bed rest with her pregnancy of the two twins. She'll be at home in bed rest till a later date, and then she'll be going to the hospital to stay for 6 weeks in bed rest at the hospital. Chelsea Norman is Brother Jim's kinfolk, and she had gallbladder surgery yesterday, but they still have some problems, so she's going back into surgery again today, so keep that family in your prayers. So that will just be dismissed in prayer. Dearly Father, we just thank you for the many opportunities you give us to come in your house and study your word and hear your word, dear Lord. Father, we just ask that you to be with us, and thank you for the love, grace, and mercy that you show us. Thank you for your son dying on the cross. Father, I just ask that you just be with the people we know that are sick or lost loved ones, fighting addiction, having procedures, just going through troubled times, Father. I just pray that we all pray to you, that you be our guiding light and have the faith in you, Father, that you may put your healing hands upon us and make our minds and hearts content with your will. We ask, dear Lord, you lead and guide us this day, and please forgive us where we fall short in serving you. In Jesus' name, amen.